KMOX Sports.
DeYoung swings and lifts a high fly ball.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
This is Sports Open Line.
It's a grand slam!
Touchdown! Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice.
Yes!
KMOX.
A good Wednesday night to you. Welcome into Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way on location tonight. We are live at Shea Fitz Arena as we're going to be here on KMOX for quite some time. I've got you for about 40 minutes or so, and then we'll hand things off to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. They are down at the other side of the arena. As I look to my right, I can see those two guys as they're getting ready to broadcast some St. Louis University basketball this evening. SLU is in action as they are going to match up against Paul Quinn College. And this is kind of an interesting game to have on the schedule. Paul Quinn is not a Division I program. In fact, they're not even an NCAA program. They are an NAIA program, but their head coach also is somebody who is very involved in the grassroots stuff that goes on in the state of Texas. They are based out of Texas, and they play in a number of D1 programs across the country, and it's obvious that there's connections between him and definitely a number of teams and programs across the country. So, that's why this game seemingly is being played tonight, and we've got all the action again beginning at about 6:45 is when, just after 6:45, about 6:47, I believe, is the time when things are going to get going here on KMOX. Before we get all the way into St. Louis University basketball, I wanted to get into a few different things. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, as you can call in, or you can text into the program. If you want to tweet at me, you can do so at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. And I thought it was interesting. Actually, before we get to that, I want to mention the St. Louis Blues. And the reason I want to get to the Blues first is because, well, they're underway. So a lot of what we would say right now could end up not being so true. And, in fact, they are 18 seconds into that game, and the Sabres have scored. It was two games ago for the Blues that they scored like 11 seconds in. Not exactly the kind of start that you want tonight. So the Sabres, who had been on an eight-game losing streak of their own, they ended that yesterday with a 7-2 win against the Canadiens, and then they jump right out of the gates tonight in Buffalo, and they've got a 1-0 lead on the Blues. But the Blues are getting a little bit healthier. Just about everybody is back in the lineup tonight. We'll see if that ends up being a good thing or a not-so-good thing, as the team has been winning a lot of games here recently. But a number of players who have missed time for various reasons, whether it's been illness, whether it's been injury, whether it's been undisclosed reasons, those players are basically all back in the lineup tonight. That includes Vladimir Tarasenko. That includes Torrey Krug. Tarasenko's been out due to illness. Krug's been out with an upper body injury. Colton Pareko's been out with an upper body injury. He's back. Pavel Buchnevich has been out. They have not said why he has been out, but all those players are back available. And, not a good start, though. 18 seconds into the game, and the Sabres currently lead the Blues by a 1-0 score. I was not expecting to see that when I opened up the scoreboard, the NHL scoreboard page, and there it was. They're down by a 1-0 score. Benjamin Hockman is going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so. Hopefully he'll stick with us for that. Wanted to get his take on a couple Cardinals things. We talked about it yesterday. There's four free agent shortstops out there and available. And yesterday, one of the writers in Atlanta had kind of put out there that it would make a lot of sense for the Cardinals to make a run at Dansby Swanson. And Benjamin Hockman quote tweeted that and basically said, not so much. You'd like to do a little bit better, that he's not as good of a player as maybe some people think that he is. So who is the fit? I feel like the guy that I've said this a lot. I said this yesterday. I think for the Cardinals to sign one of these shortstops, it has to be a shortstop that kind of falls to them, where the market all of a sudden moves, or maybe it's a player who overplays his hand early on in free agency, and then all of a sudden there are not as many opportunities available. And I don't think that's going to happen with Trey Turner. I don't think that's going to happen with Carlos Correa. And I don't think it's going to happen with Dansby Swanson. If there is kind of a guy who that may happen to, maybe it's Xander Bogaerts. Maybe he ends up being the guy. Or maybe all four guys are able to get good long-term deals with good annual average values, and the market never turns back to St. Louis, and they don't bring in one of those guys. And that's what's probably a better chance of that happening than them ending up with one of those guys, but certainly not out of the realm of possibility that they might do that. Also wanted to mention this real quick before we get to Ben Hockman. Thought it was a really good job by Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch to kind of dig in on something that there's been a lot of talk about. There's been a lot of discussion about whether or not the personal services agreement that Albert Pujols has with the Angels, that was part of the deal that he signed with the Angels all those years ago, about whether or not that personal services agreement would impact his ability to do things with the Cardinals, to show up at Cardinals events, if he gets jersey retirement, Cardinals Hall of Fame, whatever it might be. And I thought Derek Gould did a really good job, and encourage you to read it at STL Today. Basically, the answer is seemingly no, that is not going to interfere with him being able to be around the Cardinals at times. Now, I'm sure there's a limit on what he can do for the Cardinals. The Angels are gung-ho on him going and being able to assist with players in their Dominican Academy, being able to be a guest instructor during spring training, things like that. So I would think that his personal services agreement with the Angels would preclude him from being a guest instructor during spring training, from doing those type of things with the Cardinals. But in terms of appearances, it looks like he should be able to go. So that means we'll probably see Pujols around the ballpark on occasion, and that certainly is a good thing. But that was a really interesting piece that Derek Gould put together as there's been a lot of talk about that. There's been a ton of talk about whether or not he might be able to still be involved in the Cardinals organization moving forward. All right, when we come back, we are going to be joined by Post-Dispatch and STL Today columnist Benjamin Hockman. We'll talk with him about a few different things. He's got a really couple interesting columns here recently that I wanted to ask him about, and also get his take on the shortstop market for the Cardinals, as he appears not to be in favor of the Cardinals going out and getting Dansby Swanson. That's coming up next. It's Sports Open Line. We are live at Chaffetz Arena, and we're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX. Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX. Have you for about 25 more minutes. We are live at Chaffetz Arena. We will hand things over to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. They've got the call of the game tonight from here, from the arena, as SLU is in action against Paul Quinn College. That is the matchup tonight. Right now, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is a columnist with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. You can follow him on Twitter at Hockman, H-O-C-H-M-A-N. It is Benjamin Hockman. Benjamin, always appreciate your time. Happy Thanksgiving. How are you?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. I'm doing really well.
I wanted to talk to you about a few different things. First off, let's start with a tweet from yesterday, because there had been some talk about whether or not Dansby Swanson might be a fit with the Cardinals, and you essentially said the Cardinals can do better than Dansby Swanson. So what are you expecting from the Cardinals this offseason?
That's a great question, because what I'm expecting and what I'm desiring might not be the same thing. What I'm desiring is what I call a jersey seller. You know, these T-shirts that are jerseys that have the players' names on the back of them. You want to get a guy that's going to sell those jerseys instantly. And I don't know if Dansby Swanson does it. Bogaerts does. Trey Turner and Correa does. Of course, that's going to cost a lot of money. And we know the Cardinals are going to raise payroll, but the question is just how much are they going to raise payroll?
I do think it's interesting that the Atlanta Braves are so good at extending their young players that they want to have with them. They are better than any other team in baseball at getting those young players signed to long-term deals, and they don't get Swanson signed, so maybe that's on Swanson, but also maybe that's on the Braves not viewing him as one of those kind of guys.
Yeah, well, they did get lucky by getting Ozzie Albies for such an affordable price, which helped them make other moves. But, yeah, the reality is they weren't going to spend that money on a guy whose career best OPS plus was 115. Basically, he's just an above-average player, just a little bit above average. And, you know, he's had some big moments and some nice moments against the Cardinals, too. So some fans might think of the name as a bigger player than maybe he is. But, look, I mean, with Tommy Edman already, you've got a pretty good shortstop and clearly an elite defensive shortstop. The question is, how can you get more offense out of that position?
Benjamin Hockman continuing to join us here on Sports Open Line. I want to talk through a few of your recent columns, and I've been wanting to have you on since you wrote your Kyrie Irving column. And I grew up in Creve Coeur. I'm not Jewish myself, but I can tell you, I remember going on a field trip, and I think it was middle school, to the local Holocaust Museum, and that has just stuck with me my entire life. I remember the pictures that were, you'd have to go up and look in the small holes just because of how graphic those pictures were. And I thought your column about Kyrie Irving and the danger of kind of going down the path of being anything close to a Holocaust denier is such a dangerous thing, and then all of a sudden you bring sports into it. I guess more than anything else, what has been the reaction to that column that you wrote?
Well, thank you for your kind words. And the reaction has been pretty positive. And, yeah, just, you know, the reality is that there are some people, maybe even in our own community, and whether they deny it or even just distort facts about the Holocaust, it seems these people don't believe what truly happened in Germany. And that's at 6 million Jewish people were killed, and that includes many thousands of young kids. And this happened in our history, and it's terrible. And it's terrible enough that it happened. The fact that we have people in present day 2022 making jokes and not even believing the facts is hard to swallow, and it's unfair. It's just unfair. It stinks, you know. And so I hope that my column about Kyrie Irving could show people, like, look, this thing happened, the Holocaust happened, and it was the worst, and it still affects Jewish people and all people today.
Another recent column you had, you've been on a pretty solid roll here recently. After the school shooting that happened here in the St. Louis area, the St. Louis Blues played a role in the healing, and you wrote about that after the Blues featured some art pieces up on the concourse, and the national anthem was played. And just, I read it, and it almost took me back to Jack Buck after 9/11. And it's a weird, stick with me on this. Sports can heal. And to me, it was Jack Buck after 9/11 was the moment that I realized the impact that sports can have in a healing process, no matter what it is. And I read this column, and I was just kind of transported back to that moment in a weird way.
That's nice of you to say. And yes, yeah, sports are healing. Art is healing. Creative outlets are healing. And that's what these students from CVPA and Collegiate are using to get through the tragedy that was the school shooting. And the Blues did a phenomenal thing. They welcomed in that community, the teachers, the staff. Everybody was there at the game, and then they honored the great principal. And, of course, the students sang the national anthem. And you mentioned the art that was on display on the concourse. It's just a way to empower these young people. And I interviewed one of the teachers, Dr. Willie Kirkpatrick, and he was saying, like, look, this is how we move on. This is how we empower these young people to find confidence and strength after such a rattling moment in their lives.
The last column I wanted to ask you about was, you told the story of Yadel Chambers, who was somebody who grew up in the Kirkwood area and was a stud baseball player and ended up getting drafted in the 60s and was killed in war. And it was a story that I had never heard of, to be honest with you. Maybe that's just a bad job by me. I don't know how many people have heard this story, but I thought it was, I hope people go read this, because I'm sure there are a lot of stories like this across the country, people who are kind of forgotten, and it just reminds you about people out there who lost great opportunities because they went and fought for our country.
Yeah, you're so kind with your words, and I didn't know the story either, and that's precisely why I wanted to write. I mean, you're the perfect example. I wanted St. Louis sports fans to learn the story of Udell Chambers. His first name is spelled U-D-E-L-L. So I think if you Google that, people can find the story. And he was a great athlete out of Kirkwood High, and he hit 325 in the Braves single-A organization in 1967. And in 1968, he was killed in Vietnam. And it's a tragic story, and it's also a story about his family, which it still resides in St. Louis today. And there's a lot of emotions to the tale, but really it was just simply a way for me to honor Udell Chambers with the little way I could, and that's in the local paper.
How did that story come to you?
There's a friend of mine named Ryan Cothran, and he's married to a St. Louisan named Anna Whitney, and her dad, Jim Whitney, over there in Webster Groves. And Jim remembered playing against Udell Chambers, this great athlete. And Jim told Ryan, and Ryan told me. And I was like, I got to find out about this guy. And I had a wonderful and poignant also experience with Udell's family sitting down and talking about the memories.
That is fantastic. It was really enjoyable to read. Last thing before we get you out of here. What do you make of the Blues right now? Just in the sense, and last time I checked, they were down tonight. They got down early, 1-0. But just the fact that they can follow up an 8-game losing streak with a 7-game winning streak, do we even know who this team is yet?
That's a great way of putting it, because we don't. You're right. Like, they could start losing again and be like, oh, yeah, makes sense. They were losing earlier. Or they could start winning even more, and like, oh, yeah, because that's who they are. So we're still finding out the identity of the team. But I think a lot of credit goes to these unsung heroes like Noel Achari and Josh Levo and some of these players that maybe the casual fan hasn't heard of, who have been key contributors, both with the scoring and assists, but also just with hitting and body checking and just playing hard hockey.
He is Benjamin Hockman. You can read him at STL Today. You can read him in the Post-Dispatch. Benjamin, thank you for taking the time on Thanksgiving Eve of all nights. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Enjoy the Yuri Collins show.
Yes, it's going to be good tonight for sure. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, there's Benjamin Hockman joining us here on Sports Open Line on KMOX. If you can't tell from the background noise, we are live at Chaffetz Arena as SLU is in action tonight. If you're looking for something to do this evening, I always like the college basketball game on Thanksgiving Eve. Thanksgiving Eve is always a fun night. A lot of people back in town, a lot of people seeing family, and can be a little bit of a party night as well. But get a good college basketball game. And tonight, SLU going to match up against the Mighty Tigers of Paul Quinn College, an NAIA program. Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. will talk you through this coming up in just a little bit. But I can tell you that it's hard to talk about the Tigers because technically they have a 1-0 record. They have a 1-0 record because 4 of the 5 games that they have played this year have technically been exhibitions, and 3 of those 4 games have been against NCAA Division I programs. They're an NAIA program. They have played SMU, they've played TCU, and they've played North Texas. They played North Texas last night, so they were North Texas is in the Dallas area, I think. Denton, Texas, I believe that's in the Dallas area. They were in North Texas last night playing a game, and then they travel in today, and they're going to be playing this game tonight. Their head coach, Brandon Espinosa, is involved with grassroots basketball in the state of Texas and has a lot of contacts, obviously, in the D1 basketball world, and a lot of his grassroots kids are being recruited by D1 programs, so that's why they end up playing all of these Division I exhibitions. 5 games, only one that counts. It was a 1 back in early November. They played North Texas, at Dallas, which is different than North Texas. They played North Texas at Dallas and won that game 65-64. Everything else that they've done this year has technically been an exhibition. So we'll talk a little bit more about SLU basketball. We'll also go around the area. Missouri basketball, they're back in action tonight. And we might look ahead to your NFL slate of games that'll be coming up on Thanksgiving Day. We'll do that next. Sports Open Line, we are live at Chaffetz Arena as we continue to count down to St. Louis University basketball. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. have the call. We're back with more Sports Open Line in just a bit here on KMOX.
Swinging it along with the left. That's a grand slam.
You bet.
This is Sports Open Line.
Billikens win.
On America's Sports Voice.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
KMOX.
We do continue on with this edition of Sports Open Line. Tomorrow night, by the way, it is Thanksgiving night. We are going to have a special Cardinals year-end review special. Myself, Tom Ackerman, Joe Pott put it together. Actually, Matt Pajeski, sports producer extraordinaire, put it together. But the voices you are going to hear hosting it, myself, Tom Ackerman, and Joe Pott. And we're going to have a number of interviews in there. We'll hear from the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. We'll hear from Ricky Horton, Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, featured in it as well. So it's a look back at what was an incredible season for the Cardinals and also a look forward to 2023. So that's going to air tomorrow from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Hopefully you'll join us for that. Maybe the most fun part of it and the most challenging part of it was we do a countdown of the top 10 plays, or really the top 10 moments of the 2022 season for the Cardinals. And what you realize, so first off, kudos to Matt Pajeski, because what he did was he went through the entire 162-game regular season plus the couple playoff games, and he pulled out basically any notable moment and put together that list. And then we pair, and that had probably 50, 60 plays, it feels like, maybe four, at least 40, a lot. It had a lot. I don't know the exact number. And then we took that list, and we tried to figure out the top 10 from there, which obviously is incredibly subjective. But if you love Cardinals baseball on the radio, I think you're going to enjoy this segment, because not only do we count down those top 10 moments, we have the radio play-by-play clips for all 10 of those moments, so you can relive some of the best moments of Cardinals baseball this year. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow during this time period from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, as we will be off for Thanksgiving, as most folks are on Thanksgiving. And then we'll get back at it kind of on Friday. We'll be here on Friday. We'll also be replaying some stuff on Friday all at the same time, kind of a hybrid show. And then we'll get back at just everything normal coming up next week. Blues, by the way, they are continuing to play right now. They are in Buffalo as they take on the Sabres. There's just under 3 minutes to go in that first period, and the Sabres do continue to lead by a 1-0 score. Buffalo scored in the first 15, 20 seconds of the game to take a 1-0 lead, and there has been no scoring since then. And again, we're going to get out of here for St. Louis University basketball coming up in just a few moments, as we'll hand things off to Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. They've got the call of the game tonight as SLU is in action against the Tigers. The Tigers of Paul Quinn College. This was in the game notes, and I found this to be somewhat interesting. This is the first of three straight games for SLU against Tigers. They are going to next play the Auburn Tigers on the road. That game's going to be coming up on November 27th. And then on November 30th, they are going to play host to the Tigers of Tennessee State. So it will go Paul Quinn, Auburn, Tennessee State. Tigers, Tigers, Tigers. That's who they are matched up against during this three-game stretch. And speaking of Tigers basketball, Missouri, they are also in action this evening. I've talked about this a lot. I was not really high on Missouri basketball going into this season, and I still don't think we completely know who they are because they haven't been tested. But even when the season got started and They had a tight game against Southern Indiana, a team that's transitioning to Division I. They had a tight game against Penn. You're sitting there going, what's going to go on here with Coach Gates in his first season? And now all of a sudden they've started to really put things together, and they're playing in Columbia right now. They lead Coastal Carolina by a 36-22 score. Missouri's 5-0, and you start to look at that roster a little bit and the way it was rebuilt by Coach Gates, and you have to like a number of the individuals there, and those individuals are continuing to really come together as a team. So that has been good to see. Isaiah Mosley tonight coming off the bench has already scored 14 points, so he has scored 14 of Missouri's 36. The second leading scorer for Missouri right now after Mosley is Kobe Brown, and he's got 6. So Mosley has put together a pretty solid performance. He's also got a couple assists, a couple rebounds in there as well. He was a big pickup coming out of Missouri State and returning to the Columbia area, certainly where he went to high school. All right, before we get out of here, let's look ahead to what's going to be happening tomorrow, NFL football, Thanksgiving Day. The games tomorrow are interesting for different reasons, and in all likelihood, there's going to be two games that are somewhat one-sided and then a pretty good game to wrap up the day. But I think you can also look at all three games and find a reason to at least make an argument that the games might be a little bit closer than you would think they would be. You know, you look at the Bills and the Lions, and the Bills are really good. The Lions are not really good. But all of a sudden, Lions are playing some pretty good football. They've won a few in a row. They're competitive. They're not going to get embarrassed. Like, that's been one of the stories, one of the better stories this year in the NFL, just watching the Lions. They're not a playoff team, but they're competitive. They're not going to get embarrassed, and that is something that we could not say so much in recent years. All of a sudden, they're sitting there with a record of 4-6. Probably helps that they play in a division that's not very good. You go into the year and you think that the Packers are going to run away with that division. Well, the Packers haven't been very good this year. The Vikings have been the best team in that division, and the Vikings are coming off a game where they just absolutely got destroyed this past weekend. So you don't really know who the best team is in that division. It's probably the Vikings. But you don't know for sure. Giants and Cowboys being played in Dallas. Cowboys have a lot of good things going for them right now, but the Giants have put together a nice season. This is a matchup of 2-7-3 teams. Now, the interesting things about these two games, like I'm sitting here telling you that the Lions have a shot. I'm sitting here telling you that the Giants have a shot. Buffalo and Dallas are each heavy favorites in this game. Games. Buffalo is favored by 9.5 points. You've got Dallas that's sitting there as a 10-point favorite going into the game. And then the game that looks like a really good competitive matchup is that last game of the night to be played in Minneapolis, as the Vikings and the Patriots are going to play against each other. And I don't even know how to evaluate that game, especially with the Vikings coming off that somewhat embarrassing loss that they had to the Cowboys last week. All right, that's just about going to do it. That's going to take us into St. Louis University Billikens basketball. Let me just do this real quick as we go into Thanksgiving. This is a time period where we can all be thankful for so many things. I can't tell you how thankful I am that I'm sitting here in this spot hosting this show a few months into my tenure here. It has been such a blessing for me and for my family, and I'm so glad that I'm able to talk to you on an every night basis. So we'll be back with you live coming up on a Friday night. A Cardinals special will be coming your way tomorrow from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Eat lots and lots of turkey and ham and everything else. SLU basketball, it is on the way next right here on KMOX.